The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello, everyone. Good to have you with us here with William Hill ahead of the weekend international matches, the qualifiers for the Euros in 2016. Dave Kellner here in the studio with Lee Phelps. We'll hear from Brian Smith, who is an Irish football tipster. He'll take us through the matches involving the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland. We've got David Donaldson, who's already garnered himself a pretty decent reputation with tips for William Hill's in-play radio, also a Scottish football reporter for Sky and the BBC. And, of course, we'll hear from our football ambassador, Robbie Savage, ahead of Wales's trip to Andorra on Tuesday night. First of all, it's a warm welcome to my podcast pal. Mr. Lee Phelps joins me in the studio. Good morning, Lee.
Why so warm?
A warm welcome.
That's
it's usually
nice,
frosty,
isn't it?
But this, nice. This morning it's warm.
When do we do the naps from last week? That's my first question.
I think with it, maybe at the end of the podcast. Maybe at the end of something to look forward to for
excited.
The listeners.
I'm quite excited about that. I'm more excited about international football. In the past, regular listeners will know that it was almost like a bit of a kind of, you know, a bit of like shoved to the side a little bit. You know, Derek was never keen on
the run to the litter, wasn't it?
Exactly. But now we're going a little bit different. We're actually getting some experts on who know about these things.
Can we have those for the Premier League podcast as well? We are trying.
So it's going to be good. This I'm looking forward to it.
And first joining us on the line, Irish football tipster and contributor to William Hill's In Play Radio, Brian Smith has joined us to look ahead to the games involving the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland. Good morning, Brian.
Dave, how you doing? Yeah,
I'm very well, thank you. How are you, sir?
Yeah, fantastic. Good to be on.
Looking forward to these matches involving the Republic and Northern Ireland, and we'll start off with the game between Georgia and the Republic of Ireland. Georgia 23-10, the draw 21-10, and the Republic of Ireland 13-10. Brian, I assume the Republic will be a much change from the starting 11 against Oman. They won that match 2-0, and they look to have a good chance against Georgia, who have never qualified for a major international tournament.
Yeah, I would totally agree, Dave. Georgia lost midweek to the United Arab Emirates 2-0, which kind of says it all. It's kind of the quality they're at. They're 96th in the world rankings. I would, even though it's an away game, I would still expect the Republic to sneak this one 1-0, 2-1, I think. Well, they've got the likes of Shane Long, Kevin Doyle, and I know there's some injury concerns over Robbie Keane, whether he'll make it or not, but I still think they maybe just have a little bit too much quality, even though it's away, to maybe just sneak this one and see it through.
13-10 they are to win the game. Uh-huh. Brian, would you expect Alex Pearce to retain that starting spot alongside John O'Shea at centre-half?
Ooh, yeah, you know what, I would do. I think the O'Neill has kept a lot of his, he's stuck with a lot of the players in the first 8-9 games he's been in charge. We know there's James McLean's out. He's going to be a big miss. But yeah, I would expect Pearce to start alongside O'Shea. I think they have a good partnership, and I think they do well together at this level.
They look strong down the right-hand side as well, don't they, the Republic at the moment, with Seamus Coleman linking up with Aidan McGeady. He's been criticised in the past for his final ball production, Aidan McGeady, but he looks to have improved that side of his game since the switch to Everton.
Yeah, McGeady's one of those players. I know a lot of Celtic fans found him frustrating, but there's just a natural ability about him. Also, Seamus Coleman's on fire at the moment. I think he's become a hell of a player over the last 18 months, 2 years at Everton. So I think you will be seeing a lot coming from them and down that right-hand side. And I think, like I said, I think they just have a little bit too much quality on George, and I think they will get through this one.
Republic of Ireland to win the game 13-10. You mentioned 1-0 there as well,
yeah,
Brian. That's in the betting at 11-2. Lee, as I mentioned, Georgia haven't qualified for a major international tournament ever in their history. So this is lots of good setup for the Republic.
Yeah, and it's interesting, looking back at their previous qualifying campaigns, the last World Cup and the last European Championship qualifying campaign, they went away to Armenia and Kazakhstan in their first games and got a one-goal winning result in both. I think it was 1-0 against Armenia and 2-1 against Kazakhstan, or the other way around. So I can see why Smith is going for that, to be fair. Georgia, two wins in 14 games of all description. They were against Liechtenstein and Saudi Arabia fairly recently, actually. Only one win in the last 12 World Cup and European Championship qualifiers. So it's hard to see them beating the Republic. And, you know, you look at the group, Dave, and really the Republic need to win this game. I mean, it's a tough old group that they're involved in, Group D. Germany, of course, the red hot favourites to win the group. Poland 9-1, Republic 12-1, Scotland 20-1, Georgia and Gibraltar. So I mean, really, I know it's two go through plus the third place team. I think is probably the best way of putting that. So you need to finish behind Germany. It's a battle between Poland, Republic, and Scotland. Who finishes second in this group?
Yeah.
You know, so you know, it's all on. You've got to win as many games as you possibly can against these minnows, Georgia and Gibraltar, effectively, to stand any chance of getting through. And I agree. I think it'll be a. I don't think it'll be a walk in the park for Republic, but I do think they'll win it. There's no winning margin betting pre-match. So what you're looking at, if you just want to back the, you know, Republic to win by a goal, you're looking at the handicap tie market, effectively, aren't you?
Yeah.
So you know, Republic to win by a single goal is the plus one Georgia and minus one Republic, and that's priced at 11-4. So that'll get you a 1-0 or a 2-1 to the Republic.
What are your expectations, Brian, as far as the group's concerned? Lee spun through the teams in this Group D. What do the Republic expect?
I think Germany's a given. I think everybody in their right mind knows that the Germans are going to walk this group. They're world champions. They're so much stronger than everybody else. I think, like I said, well, Lee, I would agree the second place is going to be fought out between the Republic, Scotland and Poland. I think Scotland, under Strachan, have made considerable progress over the last, since he's taken over, and they look organised. I think Scotland could be a good outside chance to finish second, but saying that, I think Poland have got somebody like Robert Lewandowski, who's a world-class finisher. They've got a chance. I think the Republic are going to... My heart and my head basically says the Republic are going to be pushing for third. But I think Scotland and Poland, I think Scotland, if Scotland get off to a decent enough start, as long as they don't get hammered against the Germans, I think, and the confidence is okay, I think the Scots will do well over this campaign.
Let's move on. Let's have a look at the Group F clash between Hungary and Northern Ireland. Sunday, 5 p.m. Hungary in the betting 8-15. The draw's 11-4. Northern Ireland in the betting at 6-1. Brian, this is a huge campaign for manager Michael O'Neill. Under pressure to deliver a poor qualifying series first up, and senior players such as Aaron Hughes, Chris Baird, and Gareth McCauley. It's likely to be their last real chance to qualify for a major international tournament.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. And I know Michael Hughes is under a lot of pressure. I think he was given a period of grace, and I think now that sort of grace and the level of goodwill is kind of, it's starting to run out on him. They done okay in the two South American games just before the World Cup. They lost 1-0, and I think it was 2-0 to Chile, but 1-0 to Uruguay, 2-0 to Chile. They played well. It was actually probably their best performances under O'Neill, but They need to finish. They're going to struggle in this group, I think, no matter what. This game, I'm struggling to see where Northern Ireland are going to score goals. There's Ryan McLaughlin, Liverpool's out, Alex Bruce, Hull, Stuart Dallas from Brentford, who I had big hopes for. I think he will be a good player to watch. He's come up through the ranks of the Irish League and now made the break across the water. But Hungary have won three of their last five games at home, even though they're albeit against lesser opposition. Like I said, I struggle to see where Northern Ireland are going to score goals. I thought if Northern Ireland draw, it would be magnificent. But it's quite depressing saying this, that the Northern Ireland side looks weak. I know Hungarian football's probably not what it was a generation or two ago, but I would still expect the Hungarians to come through this and win it.
Hungary to win 2-0, by the way, Brian. Odds against 21-20. Hungary to win the game 2-0, which looks like a decent bet.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. Like, I keep going back. I don't see where Northern Ireland are going to get goals from.
Yeah.
If Jamie Ward of Derby and Aberdeen's Niall McGinn are on form, both of them have to be on form. They're going to have a chance. They may be able to nick one, but it's like I said, the Northern Ireland team. I looked at that squad today, and it's no disrespect to clubs like Fleetwood, Hamilton, Kilmarnock and Preston. We're Preston at the minute. But that just shows you where Northern Ireland, like, the pool is at the minute of players and where they're kind of having to go. It's not going back to the 80s with the likes of Whiteside, Sammy McElroy, Jerry Armstrong, where there was a lot of players playing in the top flight of England. It's the quality's diminished, and it's like I said, I think it's going to be hard to see Northern Ireland get a result out of this.
Lee, even though Hungary, as Brian's just mentioned, not the force of old, they haven't qualified for the European Championship since 1972 now. Mm. Northern Ireland don't look to be a particularly strong unit.
No, not at all. No, 3 wins in 35 away games for Northern Ireland, isn't it? Slovenia, San Marino and Liechtenstein are those three. I mean, Slovenia's not a bad one. I mean, they have had some real standout draws. The draw in Portugal, for instance.
Yeah.
But they always seem to raise the game against the really good sides. It seems to be, you know, that the sides like Hungary, where they just don't seem to be able to go and do it. Last win was in September 2010 away from home. There have been 10 draws in the run. The Hungarians, I mean, when you look at the home form, only lost one home game in the World Cup qualifiers, and that was to Holland. Scored loads of goals as well. They put three past Turkey, 2 against Romania, scored 5 against Estonia and 2 against Andorra. In the last European Championship qualifying round, they scored 8 against San Marino at home, 2 against Sweden in a 2-1 win, and 2 against Moldova in a 2-1 win. They were beaten 4-0 by Holland again in that one. So they've only lost 2 games in the last 2 qualifying campaigns at home, and they were both to Holland, which, you know, it's fair enough form. I think they'll win this. I'm just toying whether to go for the -1 Hungary at 11-8 or the very safe Hungary to score 2 or more goals at 8-11. I haven't quite made my mind up on that, really, because I think Northern Ireland will go and try and set up just to defend. If they can get a draw in this, then they'll be delighted with that. One player who is worth a look in terms of goal scoring is Balázs Zsuzsák, who is the captain. Takes penalties as well. Already scored a goal for Dynamo Moscow in the early stages of the Russian Premier League. 15 goals in 61 at the midfielder for his country. So I think he might be worth a little look. If you're looking for an anytime goal scorer, he's priced up at 9-5. Yeah, 9-5, which isn't bad. I mean, just looking through some of the names in this team, Bogdan, the keeper, Joaj, the vice-captain who plays for Videoton, 80 caps under his belt. Vanjak's got 78 caps, the defender. Zoltán Gyerő, we know him well, 77 caps. 23 international goals. I mentioned Zsuzsák, his 60-odd caps. Daniel Tsotsa, who's at Watford now. Then you got Priskin up front. And Gigoli Rudolph, who's also scored 10 in 27 international goals. So some decent players in this side. I think they're the last team you want going away in your first qualifier. Group F, by the way, Greece are the odds-on favourites to win it, 19-20. Romania, 9-4. Hungary, 4-1. Finland, 9-1. Northern Ireland, 28-1. And the Faroe Islands, 1,000-1. That is the group of life, isn't it? I mean, you'd kill for that group.
You would.
I mean, I know Greece are all, they're decent and they qualify for tournaments, but there's nothing to be scared of in that group. If only Northern Ireland just had a little bit more quality. If the Republic were in that group, Smitty, you'd be absolutely, Republic fans would be rubbing their hands together.
Without a doubt.
Or Scotland, or even Wales, you know.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think Northern Ireland's best hope in this group is to try and push on and get out of the fifth seeded pot for the next qualifying and kind of finish fourth. But like I keep going back, I struggle to see where the quality is in Northern Ireland, and I think Greece will win that. Greece or Romania will win that group, and then it'll be between Hungary and Finland for the third place, and Northern Ireland will be making up fifth. Depressingly.
Yeah. Look forward to the Northern Ireland Faroe Islands match.
No, not really.
Thank you for your company, Brian. I'm especially looking forward to the Republic of Ireland playing Scotland further down the line. That might be decisive.
No doubt.
As far as Group D is concerned. Brian, thank you for your company this morning.
Dave, no problem. All the best. Thank you. Bye.
Cheers, mate.
Bye.
Thank you again to Brian Smith, our Irish football tipster, for his preview of the games involving the Republic and Northern Ireland. And next up, David Donaldson has joined us, Scottish football reporter for Sky, BBC and already providing the winners for William Hill's in-play radio. David, good morning.
Good morning to you too.
How are you doing, sir?
Very good indeed. Looking forward to this game. Looks an absolute cracker.
Yeah, it should be a belter. Germany, Scotland. This is a Group D clash. Sunday, 7:45 p.m. Germany in the betting at 1-6. The draw 6-1. Scotland 14-1 to go to Germany and win. David, this is probably the best time to ever play Germany. Joachim Löw's side were beaten by Argentina 4-2 in Dusseldorf in midweek, and they've got some injury problems, Germany. And Gordon Strachan's talked in the lead-up to the match about Scotland having no fear going to Germany, but it's tough against the world champions.
what you say, that's maybe the best time for Scotland to be facing Germany, but perhaps it's perhaps maybe the worst time for Scotland to be facing Germany. Of course, they were thrashed 4-2 by Argentina in a friendly on Wednesday night. I know you say they've got a couple of injuries, Germany, but I think, you know, the quality that they've got as well, and the fact they're at home, and the fact they were beaten on Wednesday night, means they're going to come out all guns blazing against Scotland. And I have to say that Scotland, although the record against Germany isn't actually as bad as it looks, you know, they've lost a number of key players. Scott Brown's not there, of course, the captain, the Celtic captain as well. Robert Snodgrass, of course, he's out for 6 months, the Hull City player. He's a big, big player for Scotland. There's also a couple of other, Christoph Berra, Andy Robertson, and Graham Dorans, of course, who would definitely have started the game. He's been ruled out for injured as well. So I think Scotland could be very much up against it.
Now, they've had a couple of really good results in World Cup qualifiers against Croatia in recent times, Scotland, and Strachan seems to be getting the best out of this team.
He certainly does. They've had some really good results. As you say, Croatia beat Norway and Poland as well. They've kept 4 clean sheets in the last 6 games. They're unbeaten in the last 6, so they can take heart from that. The only thing I would say is the old problem that Scotland always seem to have is finding the back of the net. And I think that Stephen Naismith of Everton, he looks certain to start up front on his own. And I think he's going to be handed the task of trying to get that goal for Scotland as they try and carve out a result in Dortmund. And I was just looking at some of the prices for Stephen Naismith. 5-1 to score any time looks pretty reasonable to me. And he's a huge 20-1 to grab the first goal of the game.
And to be fair, David, when you look back at the German qualification for the World Cup, they scored a lot of goals, but they do concede the odd goal as well, so it might not be the worst bet in the world. Let me ask you about what's the atmosphere amongst fans like? I mean, it's a pretty interesting time to be in Scotland anyway at the moment with all the political situation. I was doing a podcast yesterday with one of the guys who covers England, and I was saying, in a way, I'd kind of rather be a Welsh or a Scottish football fan at the minute, national fan, because at least there's some hope there and there's a bit of excitement about where the teams are going, as opposed to England, who, yeah, maybe England will qualify, but then they generally disappoint. Is there a feeling that the Scottish fans are kind of expecting qualification from this group?
Well, very much so. I think Scotland fans expect to qualify from this group. I think that Gordon Strachan's brought back the feel-good factor amongst the Scotland fans, amongst the Scotland team. There's no prima donnas, there's no big star names in the Scotland setup, but very, very much a team ethos, and everyone that comes in buys into that. As I say, unfortunately for Scotland, they've lost probably 2 or 3 of their key players going into this game. I don't think anyone gives too much hope of going to Dortmund and getting a result. And to be honest, I think the best that Scotland could probably get from this game is a draw. One of the prices that I did catch my eye, I think, was the half-time, full-time betting as well, where a draw, then Germany to win, go on and win the game, was 17-5. I think that's potentially a good price in the game. I think that, you know, Scotland are more than capable of holding Germany for, let's say, 70 minutes. I think, though, in the end, Germany's class will probably tell in this game.
Davey, about the general public expecting Scotland to qualify from the group. Group D betting odds here with Hills: Scotland 7-4 to qualify from the group. Do you expect them to qualify?
I do indeed. I think Scotland will qualify. I think we've got enough this time round to qualify. I know there's been disappointment in the past. I just think that Scotland are on and up at the moment. They've got the backing of the huge Tartan Army, of course, and I think you'll see the mountain force in Dortmund on Sunday night. No doubt about that. They obviously go all over the world with Scotland, but I think there's a real strong feeling with Scotland and this team as well. Got quite a lot of strength and depth, I think, this time around, that possibly Scotland hasn't had for a long period of time. You know, when players are injured, you know, before maybe lesser players come in, I think it's pretty much like for like these days, and I think that that will be enough for Scotland to qualify, plus as well the huge home support that we have. I think anyone coming to Scotland is going to be in for the game.
Scotland 7-4 to qualify from the group. League?
Yeah, it's fair. I can understand that. I think it's the value. You look at Republic of Ireland 6-4, Scotland 7-4. You know, Poland are ahead of them in the betting, 11-10, of course. But yeah, I tend to side with that. I think there's a little bit more momentum with Scotland. As for this game, I do like that Naismith bet. I've been, obviously, people who listen regularly know that I'm a bit of a fan of Naismith, because I just think he pops up and he does what he's supposed to do, and that's score goals. And we were saying about, you know, Germany conceding in the World Cup qualifiers. They beat Kazakhstan 4-1. You know, obviously there was a 4-4 against Sweden, which was a remarkable game, really. But in the last European Championship qualifiers, they conceded to Belgium, 2 to Austria, and conceded to Azerbaijan, which was their first home qualifier in that one. You know, they won 6-1, but if you're backing a player like Naismith just to score a goal at a price like 5-1, I think that's decent. I'm not sure. I get what Davey's saying about about getting to half time. Germany do traditionally start exceptionally fast, but I understand that, you know, the organisation may be good enough. I think I'd probably go as far as 30 minutes betting. It's still odds against.
Yep.
Draw at 30 minutes is 21-20. So I might not quite trust him as much as Davey, although he knows a lot more about the Scottish team than me. But I still think that's a decent bet. 30 minutes, 21-20 is still decent. You know, the draw at 30 minutes, and then it doesn't really matter what happens in the rest of the game from a betting point of view.
Yeah, I think it's a decent price. It sounds very good. I think Scotland more than capable, as I say, certainly keeping them for 30 minutes. As you say, maybe not for the 70 that I was talking about earlier on, but certainly the 30 minutes at that kind of price looks very good value.
So, yeah. David, just before you leave us, if you had one bet for this game, what would it be?
I'd have to go with my Stephen Naismith to score any time, 5-1. That is a big price. He's scoring goals for Everton. He's still definitely going to start, and he's Scotland's main goal-scoring threat. 5-1 to score any time, decent value.
Superb. Thank you, Davey. We'll catch up again soon.
Thank you very much.
Cheers, Davey.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, mate. Perfect. Brilliant. I'll look out for your stuff next Friday, mate.
That was fun. David Donaldson speaking to us, our Scottish football reporter working for Sky, BBC, and more importantly, providing winners for William Hill's In Play Radio. Who started the season in superb form?
Unbelievable. Get on that, Naismith. Whoever, I mean, to be fair, whoever starts for Scotland in that forward role, and, you know, he seems very, very confident that it will be Naismith. But,
yep.
You know, Chris Martin, I know he's a Championship striker, but he scores goals, doesn't he, for Derby County? 5-1. Fletcher's 4-1. I think, you know, if Naismith starts, so 5-1. He's just a poacher. I like I said, regular listeners will know that I do like Naismith, especially your mate.
Yeah, he's got a bone of... We'll come on to that Premier League podcast next week, but he's got a bone of contention.
Well, I'm liking this, getting round the, you know, getting round the country.
Around the grounds, yeah.
Around the UK, it's
good. It is
haven't got any... We've only got us two to do the England game, though. That's the problem.
I like the way David Donaldson just cut me down straight away as well. I said it's probably the best ever time to play Germany. He said the worst time to ever play Germany.
Straight in.
They have got some injury problems. They'll be without Mesut Ozil, Mats Hummels,
yep.
Bastian Schweinsteiger, Julian Draxler and Jerome Boateng, both doubts as well.
Mm.
Draxler almost certainly going to be out. It's you can see both sides of the coin, can't you?
Yeah. They win.
Some people would call
win.
They win.
I think his general point about Scotland making it hard. Well, you know, I like it when a manager has got his players playing for him and they listen to what he says, and I think Strachan can organise them very well. We talked about those away. I mean, going to Croatia, winning 1-0. I know Croatia aren't the best team in the world, but they, you know, Scotland took the lead in the 26th minute, and, you know, and then kept a clean sheet after that. You know, this was in a qualifier, you know, so it's obvious that they would have had to defend. You know, Croatia had 16 shots on goal in that match. Scotland had one on target. That went in, you know. So, you know, they were under the pump for a lot of that game, and they kept them out. So, you know, they can defend. We know they can go away and defend. It's just that Germany are the world champions, and they're an exceptional side, and they'll find a gap in whatever brick wall you put up against them. So, yeah, they'll get there in the end. But I understand his point about that 30-minute betting or the half-time, full-time.
Let's move on to Group E then, England's group. 1-25, England are to qualify from the group. Switzerland 4-11, Slovenia 2-1, Estonia 12s, Lithuania 22s, and San Marino in the betting at 500s. To win the group, England 4-9, Switzerland 9-4, Slovenia in the betting at 7-1, bigger the rest. And as far as this match is concerned, toughest match of the group for England. You would envisage this one being it. Switzerland 17-10, the draw 19-10, England 19-10. Very tight from a betting perspective. Lee, it's probably worth remembering a lot of negativity following England's midweek 1-0 win at Wembley against Norway, but probably worth remembering that England haven't been beaten in a meaningful qualification match since Croatia in 2007.
Yep.
They did get beaten in a qualifier by the Ukraine in 2009, but were cruising at that point.
Yep.
That was meaningless. My problem here is there's a dearth of talent, in my opinion, from a personnel perspective. They need inspirational leaders both on and off the pitch. England haven't got that.
No.
I mentioned it in the podcast before the Norway match midweek. Roy Hodgson can't be the man to lead England into another major international tournament.
Well, he's probably going to be, isn't he? I think, you know, his contract is till Euro 2016, till after the tournament, and you know it looks like he'll see it out. It would be a crazy situation to take him out of the job before then, I guess, unless the results go badly.
Shouldn't be the man then, maybe.
No,
maybe.
Probably not. I mean, he's showing signs of, he's been very kind of calm, hasn't he, up until now, and the media have always kind of been on his side, very accommodating. But then this week, we've, you know, he's one of the in the post-match press conference, as opposed to the TV interviews, the question was put to him that the stats showed that England only had two shots on target against one of the worst teams that we've seen at Wembley in recent years.
And, yep.
You know, we use a thing called, on In-Play Radio here at William Hill, we use a thing called running ball, which is a stat. Scouts go out to games, they press buttons on a keypad or whatever, and we get the stats coming through. Well, there's a different, you have shots off target, don't you? Shots on target and shots blocked. Now, what he was saying was, what about all those players who are throwing themselves in? Which is fair enough, isn't it? They are shots that are going on target. And then it was funny, though, because he called it, you know, absolute bollocks,
yeah,
basically. And but then he went and said, and we had 78% possession. Well, you can't use stats if you've just lambasted the press pack for using stats. On the FWA podcast
we do it in this studio all the time, though. You use stats to
formulate a bet, don't you?
Formulate a bet, yeah.
And you can use them whichever way you want to use them.
You can skew them slightly sometimes.
Yeah. Well, we never do that, obviously.
No, but, obviously.
We do a podcast called the FWA podcast, which is where we talk to the football writers. Neil Ashton was the guest on it yesterday, available on Audioboo and at williamhill.com/podcast. But Neil Ashton is his job is being with England, and it was really interesting to kind of pick his brains. I was quite critical of England, and he kind of defended them a little bit.
Yep.
As the podcast wore on, it seemed like he got more and more annoyed with them, and you know, he said a couple of things. One, he said there's no plan for England,
okay,
whatsoever, as in from the FA. You know, there's no plan. You know, where are they going? No one knows. The other thing he said was what you've just said. He said there are no natural leaders in the dressing room. There is no one who makes a noise in the dressing room. And
no,
he said that's the most worrying thing for this group of players. There's no one there who can, you know, stand up in whoever you want to say, Tony Adams style, or you know, Terry Butcher style, or even Steven Gerrard style, who isn't exactly Mr. kind of outlandish, is he? But there's no one, you know. And that is a worry, isn't it, going away to somewhere like Switzerland, look, all this hype about Switzerland that we heard about 4 or 5 years ago hasn't really come true. You know, they've only lost one game in home qualifiers in the last two tournament qualifiers. The World Cup, they only lost one. They didn't lose any. And in the European Championship qualifiers, they lost one game. It was their opening home qualifier, and they lost it 3-1 to England.
Okay.
Which, you know, and I thought to myself, well, what was that team like in 2010, just to remind myself? The goals were scored by Wayne Rooney, Adam Johnson and Darren Bent. Well, Adam Johnson and Darren Bent aren't the golden generation, are they? But what struck me was, when I looked at the team, was if you look at the back line, it was much better. Joe Hart in goal still, Ashley Cole, Phil Jagielka, Glenn Johnson, Julian Lescott, Stephen Gerrard, Gareth Barry and Milner. That looks like a much more solid back line, doesn't it, than the one we've got at the moment. I know, you know, maybe people might say, yeah, Johnson's no good, really. Lescott is not a quality player. But I think Jagielka is, I think Cole was, Gerrard and Barry very solid, and Milner. It's not particularly creative, that.
No.
But it's very, very solid in the middle of the park, and we obviously got goals, you know, from Rooney. Then, you know, second half goals from Johnson. Walcott was up front with Defoe and Rooney. So, you know, not amazing.
No, you look at that.
Are we better than that now, or are we worse than that now?
We've got better players now than that team, even.
We're not solid.
We've not got a better manager. Fabio Capello, a man that in the end was criticised heavily at the end of his reign, but a better tactician than Roy Hodgson, no doubt in my mind. The one really worrying aspect about Wednesday's match against Norway was that Wayne Rooney's being given the captain's armband here to lead this side. They looked a better team when Wayne Rooney was substituted in the second half and Raheem Sterling moved into a central position. He's given him the captain's armband. He's going to be involved in every single qualifier, Wayne Rooney. There's a question whether he should be even in the starting lineup. But now, Roy Hodgson having made this decision, hands are tied. He's not. He's afraid to make big decisions, Roy Hodgson.
I still would have Rooney in there. Remember, I mean, the stat didn't bear any fruit in the end. I said, you know, before the Norway game that Rooney's record in friendlies wasn't great. He got the penalty and scored it. Obviously, Gerrard would have taken the penalty beforehand. But that obviously means that his record in qualifiers is very good, because his record in major tournaments isn't particularly great, is it? So the majority of Wayne Rooney's 41 goals have been scored in qualifiers, scored in Switzerland last time they won. I'm not sure I agree with you. I think he's had a slow start to the season, to be fair, Wayne Rooney. But I think he does need to play.
What about Paul Parker's criticism, by the way?
Scathing?
Was incredible. Scathing's one word to use, definitely.
Well, I mean, the thing is with like the pundits now, and we work with Robbie Savage as well, and he's wanting to do it as well, but you wonder sometimes if pundits just wake up on the wrong side of the bed and think, I'm just going to throw a bomb in there now. I'm just going to throw a hand grenade out there, and there you go. It's going to create havoc and see what happens after that.
If you've not seen it, make sure you log on to the... log on to YouTube and have a look at that. Oh, I think it's been transcribed as well, hasn't it? Subsequently. So make sure you have a look at Paul Parker's criticism. Of Wayne Rooney's performance.
Rooney needs space, and he's just not the player he was. But having said that,
He's regressed.
I still have him in my starting lineup for England. We haven't got a lot better than him, to be fair. By the way, what about that? Falcao bet that we talked about on the podcast a couple of weeks ago. He was 3-1 to outscore Wayne Rooney and Robin van Persie. He's now the favourite in the market at 6-4.
Yeah,
Rooney's 2-1 and van Persie 7-4. I think
you'll get that when compilers have to compile. And I like that market. We like that market a lot beforehand, and that looks good now. Mm. Very good indeed. I think Radamel Falcao will outscore Wayne Rooney and Robin van Persie in the Premier League this season, so that's a good bet.
Robbie, I mentioned it, we'll hear from in a minute about the Wales game. He called him the best finisher in world football.
Falcao?
Yeah. Which is hard to argue with, really. On Switzerland, because we haven't really spoken about them that much, I mean, for that European Championship qualification group that I mentioned, this is when they were all the rage. They scored 2 against Montenegro at home, 3 against Bulgaria, 4 against Wales, lost to England in the home games. The World Cup qualifiers, they scored 1 against Slovenia. They drew 4-4 with Iceland, which is not particularly great. They beat Cyprus 1-0 and drew 1-1 with Norway, and a 2-0 win against Albania. That's not fantastic. Obviously, they went to the World Cup and performed much better than England did, because they made it through the group stages. But they were very open, weren't they? I remember watching the France game when France, you know, destroyed them. And then all of a sudden, right near the end of the game, they kind of came back at them a bit. Scored 2 against Ecuador, but that was a very, very late winner against Ecuador. The Honduras match, which I think I'm right in saying was played in Manaus. Honduras had so many chances in that match. How they didn't score, I still don't know. Shaqiri got the hat-trick, if you remember, back to that game. I think Honduras had 17 shots on goal in that match.
Yep.
And Honduras weren't great.
No.
And somehow they didn't score one. Switzerland are an open team. They shut down and tried to defend for their lives against Argentina, and did it very well 2 minutes before full time and extra time, when Di Maria got the winner in that Argentina Switzerland game. So they can do it. I just don't think they'll try and do it against England. They know England are, you know, in a sticky patch. They know that England will be, you know, they won't be the most confident team. I think Switzerland will go for England here, and I think that'll play into England's hands to a certain extent.
Really?
I'm hoping that Hodgson, going back to one of his former, you know, stomping grounds, will set his team up to be defensive first, and then look to hit on the break with the pace of Sterling.
Okay,
that's what I'm hoping will happen.
But will Sterling play in a wide area again, where he's less effective?
There's some chat about him playing behind the main striker, isn't there? And you know, just having, you know, maybe a one man up front with Sterling just sat behind.
So where does Wayne Rooney play then?
Well, he'd have to be up front, wouldn't he? If he plays him. They might play Sturridge up front on his own,
yep,
with Sterling and Rooney sat behind. So a kind of a three, and Rooney just drops back into midfield to help out, you know, picking the ball up and doing, you know, a bit more of a playmaker role, which is actually where I think Rooney should be playing
now. When Rooney's going to end up as a central midfielder, isn't he? It's a matter of time. It is a matter of time until he drops back into midfield.
Yeah. So maybe that's the role. Sturridge is your main focal point, and then Sterling, because Sterling will come back and defend as well. He will help out in midfield. He's great at breaking up play, isn't he? And then setting off again. But I think that's how they'll set up. And I think if they do that, and Switzerland come at them, I think they will be able to exploit them.
Another thing that got me after that Norway match is people are now touting Phil Jones as the future of English football at centre half. He's had one half decent game against Norway at Wembley. And he's tactically inept.
But did you see?
Whenever I see him,
but
play
their
for
best
Manchester
chance
United.
When King cut down the side, he went straight into him.
Yep.
He dived in straight away, and he was lost. Anyone, if that had been a decent team, there'd have been one down there.
He's an athlete, but he's not a footballer.
harsh.
But I don't see him as a future England centre half for the next decade, and that's what Hodgson's trying to instill in he's trying to build a team for the future, isn't he? That's what we keep hearing with these cycles, trying to get them ready for this championship. So as far as the game's concerned then, Lee, bets on this match then. Switzerland 17-10, draw 19-10, England 19-10.
God. it's hard, isn't it? I think the draw.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if I've got enough confidence in England. It's a decent price. You know, England nearly 2-1 to go and win away from home at a team who only drew 1-1 with Norway in World Cup qualifiers in 2012.
Better in the World Cup than England, though. Much better in the World Cup.
They were, but they also leaked goals alarmingly. I've got to tell you, I am tempted by England, but the fact that the draw is the same price and I'm not confident enough, I'll probably go with the draw on the outrights if I have to pick one. But I'll probably swerve the outrights, really, and just look at goals, to be honest with you.
Yeah, over 2.5 goals in the game, available at 13-8, over 2.5 goals. 4-9 the under.
Price. And I know, like we said already, Switzerland kept Argentina to nil, but I don't see them doing that. They did that because Argentina are a fantastic team. You know, over 2.5 landed in the Honduras game, and it should have been more. Over 6.5 landed in the France game. Over 2.5 landed in the Ecuador game as well. As I say, you know, it was a mixed bag in the qualifying campaign for the World Cup. The 4-4 against Iceland, 1-0 against Slovenia. But those games weren't for want of trying to score goals. It's not like Switzerland just set up. You know, 11 shots on goal from Switzerland in that game and 12 shots on goal from Slovenia. It finished 1-0. So it's not like it's a boring... They don't sit back and try and defend. They do attack. It's just that, for some reason, they didn't score in that match. Obviously, the 4-4 speaks for itself against Iceland as well. And similarly, you know, in the game against Cyprus, it was only a 1-0. But they had 15 shots on goal at Switzerland. So I think it'll be high scoring, relatively anyway. I think maybe over 3.5 could even land, but that over 2.5 price is great. And I'm going to go back in with Sterling to score a goal. I did it against Norway, and I think he was man of the match, personally.
He won the penalty.
I won the penalty. Don't think you're paid out for that, do you?
No, unfortunately not.
14-5 any time. And just a little sneaky one for anyone who's looking. Gary Cahill, 17-2. Switzerland from set pieces looked pretty ropey at times in the World Cup. Looking back through some of those World Cup qualifiers, I know they conceded a goal in the Norway game. Breda Hangeland scored that goal, and you know, I think set pieces is where maybe they could be exploited, especially if England are defending first and foremost and looking to hit them on the set piece. So a little outside bet on Gary Cahill to grab a goal, but my main bet in the match really would be Raheem Sterling to score, and that, like you've just put up, that over 2.5, it just looks a bit big to me, that really. Over 1.5 is 4-9, which I think for any acca is a great price. Not the sort of price I'd play, but for any kind of acca that you're doing, I think for two goals in this game, yeah, I like that.
We'll finish off with Group B, Wales's group. They're taking on Andorra on Tuesday night, this one, a 7:45 p.m. kickoff. Andorra 14-1, the draw 6-1, Wales 1-12. We'll speak briefly about this match, Lee, given that we've only got one market available at time of recording, and that's the outright market. Wales being drawn in Group B with Belgium, Bosnia, Israel, Cyprus and Andorra. Bosnia and Belgium clear favourites for this group, obviously. Wales should go to Andorra and win?
Yes, yeah, they should. Yeah, that's fair. I mean, you'd be very worried if they didn't go to Andorra and win. Andorra, of course, one of the minnows in world football, aren't they? So yeah, you'd be exceptionally disappointed if they didn't win there.
They've not won a match since 2004. That was the last time they won a match, Andorra. That was in a World Cup qualification game back in 2004. So. Yeah.
Better for skiing, isn't it?
10 years ago. Much better for skiing.
Added to that, you know, this is a list of this is friendlies and World Cup qualifiers. They lost 1-0 to Indonesia in a friendly, 3-0 to Moldova, 4-0 to Romania, 2-0 to Holland, 2-0 to Turkey, 2-0 to Iceland, Estonia 1-0, 5-0. Basically, they haven't scored a goal at home since 2009 when they got one in a 3-1 defeat at home to Kazakhstan. That's pretty bad. You know, they don't win games. They lose every game they play and they never score.
No.
So, yeah.
It's not a good recipe for a football team, is it?
And obviously Wales, you know, if Gareth Bale plays, Wales win these kind of games, you know, every time they play. Aaron Ramsey's obviously in great goal-scoring form. You look at the last three games when Wales have scored away from home. Then, you know, Ramsey scored a penalty against Scotland in the win. He scored a penalty against Macedonia in a 2-1 defeat. And he scored in the 88th minute for that 1-1 draw against Belgium in that brilliant World Cup qualifier draw when Belgium were all but done. But, you know, still a good result to go away there. So Ramsey or Bale to score when the full markets become available is well worth a look. We've got a Welsh man to talk about this, haven't we?
My best friend, Robbie Savage, previewing this game. So let's hear from Robbie.
I think Wales' biggest problem is a lack of a quality centre forward. You know, they've got Bale, they've got Ramsey. You've got to say Bale, one of the best players in the world. Ramsey, one of the best players in the Premier League. Ashley Williams, centre half, is an outstanding player for Swansea. Good on the ball. You just worry about the centre forward position. If they had an Ian Rush or a Mark Hughes or a Dean Saunders, I could see them doing exceptionally well. Massive campaign for Chris Coleman. I think they'll go to Andorra and win. A lot of talk about the pitch, but I think that will suit the ball playing players of Wales. Ramsey, Allen, Bale. You know, I'm not sure. Joe Lely, is he fit? But I think Wales will go there and win. I think it's the best opportunity for Wales to qualify since the team I was in under Mark Hughes when we lost out of Russia in the playoffs. So I go Wales to win to nil with a real chance of qualifying.
And you'd include Gareth Bale in your scorers list, would you, I guess?
Listen, it's key for Wales that Gareth Bale stays fit. He will be the difference of if Wales qualify or not. If he plays in more games than he doesn't, they've got a real chance. If he gets injured, misses games, I don't think they'll qualify. Gareth Bale's key, and you've got to say every time Wales play, I'd always put Gareth Bale to score.
In terms of Gareth Bale, he has to go to a major tournament, doesn't he, at some point in his career with Wales, just to complete him as a player, if you like. You don't want to be like a George Best, for instance, who doesn't really ever get a chance to shine on the world stage. I'm not comparing Gareth Bale and George Best, by the way.
You know, people say, well, Gareth Bale have to get to a major tournament to realise his dream, his potential to be recognised on the world stage. Well, there's an argument saying now, is the Champions League better than the World Cup? That's an argument. I think that, you know, Ryan Giggs never went to a major tournament and the most decorated Premier League player of all time. So I personally don't think that he has to go to a major tournament of Wales and perform. I think on the international stage he performs every time he pulls on a Welsh shirt and he's won the Champions League. He's just an incredible player. And I would say at this minute in time, you've got to say he's up there with Ronaldo and Messi.
Robbie talking about the influence of Gareth Bale, and he's expecting, obviously, Bale to have a big season at Real Madrid. He is Wales' talisman, and he's spoken actually in the lead-up to the match about his desire for Wales to qualify for a major international tournament with him at the helm.
Yeah, and you know, I asked, you know, Robbie there, does he have to do that for him to be a truly great player? And you know, I think Robbie's makes some fair points. No, you don't have to be. You know, whether Robbie's right in that the Champions League is a better tournament than a World Cup or a European Championship, open to debate, a good debate to have. I'm not sure. I think any footballer surely would want to go to a World Cup or a European Championship with his nation. That stands to reason for me. So yeah, I mean, it's a tough group for them. I mean, once again, in with Belgium. It's amazing how many similar teams are thrown up in these? Obviously, you've only got an infinite amount of teams to pick from in the European qualifiers for the World Cup and the European Championship qualifiers. But yeah, Belgium, obviously the favourites to win the group. It's between Bosnia and Wales, and it'd be great to see Wales get there. They have got a very good team.
Absolutely.
And if only, like Robbie says, if only they had a centre forward. I'm going to go for a really good start for Wales here. I like Ramsey to score. I like Bale to score. If you can get them both combined any time, then I think that's a good bet. And I'm going to go Wales to win 3-0 in Andorra, because the only teams who don't batter them are the teams who aren't bothered. Netherlands 2-0. Let's not go crazy here. So I think Wales will be mad keen on getting off to a really good start. So if you don't like 3-0, -2 Wales will be worth a look as well. It's going to be short though.
Yes, absolutely.
Unfortunately,
Lee.
Are we doing naps?
Well, should we just part the naps for this?
Do the table from last week or?
No. Well, should we just pick up the naps next week? What? Now.
Why?
I'm just. Listen, people have been listening to this. Some people don't like the international qualifiers.
Right.
We've rambled on for quite a while now. Can we squeeze the naps in here? I'm not sure we can.
For all the people who've been tweeting me asking for my naps and congratulating me on the winning nap last weekend, I'll tweet him later.
Yeah,
with my nap.
Thank you, Lee. Thanks again to Brian Smith, David Donaldson and Robbie Savage for their contributions. We've had an Irishman, a Scotsman and a Welshman on the programme
today. Englishmen.
And two Englishmen. I hope you've enjoyed it, listeners, and we'll be back for the Premier League next week. Looking forward to getting back stuck into to that, given that it's more entertaining, isn't it?
Loads of new signings as well to talk about. Yeah. Well back at Arsenal, Falcao at Man U.
Yep. Whew. I'm looking forward to it. Falcao's a
Remy at Chelsea.
Yeah.
Scored for France, didn't he?
So looking forward to that. We'll be back with the Pump podcast. Myself and Lee Phelps will spend all week trying to find someone to contribute with us as well. And
I think I might have someone already.
Oh, good. Yeah. That's good news. We'll speak to you again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.